Our scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. But before we hear this lesson from Jesus, let's begin with prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, may the reading of your word be for us the bread you send from heaven that gives life to the word. Amen. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Verily, truly, I'll tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see in it and believe you? What will we do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, be with us today as we learn about what it means for you to be the bread of life, what it means for you to give us sustenance and meaning and purpose. We ask that you bless the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, that they may be blessing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now sometimes you're having such a good time, you don't want to go anywhere. I can't tell you how many concerts I've been to. And I used to, when I was in high school and college, and we were going to concerts all the time. And some of them were good, and some of them were bad, and some of them were transformative. And the good ones, where everybody had like a powerful moment, right? The band would finish their encore, and the house would turn the lights on, and nobody would move. They would think, we're not going anywhere. It was almost as if their feet were stuck to the floor. They weren't moving because what they experienced was so powerful, so amazing, so transformative. Have you ever felt that way? Where you had such a powerful moment that you didn't want to go anywhere. You don't want to walk away from the magical moment that you just experienced. And I'm sure every one of you have had at least one magical moment of connectedness, of overwhelming joy, that you just didn't want to move because you were afraid that if you did, it would all just slip away like sand through your fingers and you would lose that feeling that you were experiencing. We learn in the Gospel of John that after Jesus fed the 5,000 people along the banks of the Sea of Galilee, the crowd didn't just disperse and go home. Instead, they hung out. They were so moved by this experience of dining with Jesus, they just wanted to keep the party going. And in the evening, as night came, the disciples had to slip out and move on to the next town across the Sea of Galilee in their boats. And Jesus was not with them. And a storm arose, and Jesus came and walked on water and helped them reach the other side safely. But the next morning, after everyone had fallen asleep and they're now awake, they say, where's Jesus? They find that Jesus is gone. They go, this is not acceptable. The party needs to continue. So the crowd takes to their boats. They head out to find Jesus. They get in their boats. They go across the sea. They find him there. And they all find him. They say, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, this moment in the story is a powerful reminder that Jesus is always out ahead of us, working and bringing new life wherever he goes. When we want to relish in the nostalgia for a moment of glory past, Jesus has already moved on to the next place, and perhaps an unexpected place. Now, churches often get stuck in these ideas of nostalgia for the glory of the past, right? The idea of seeking to stay exactly like you were in the glory days of the late 50s and early 60s, hoping by doing and saying the exact same things, we will somehow relive these years. Yet we fail to recognize that Jesus has refused to stay still and actually has moved on, has gone on to a new place, a new opportunity for resurrection, and the church needs to follow rather than remain still. This is true for all the work that we do in the service of God. When we get there, Christ is already at work before we show up. Always one step ahead. So if we are to walk with Jesus in faith, we should recognize that standing still, allowing ourselves to remain stagnant in the mire of nostalgia or fear, is not the life or mission that Christ desires for us, but rather one that goes looking for Jesus in new and unexpected places, as those early disciples did that morning in the Sea of Galilee. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus answers the crowd, but he does it by questioning their motives. Basically saying, you came looking for me not because of the signs that you saw when I fed the 5,000, meaning the truth of who Jesus is, but no, you came looking for me because your stomachs were filled. Because you want another meal. Because that first meal was pretty fantastic. The best bread and fish you've ever had in your life. Jesus said you want another meal, but you not the diet that I am offering you. Temporary versus the eternal. Now you have to give it up to these people. They, unlike the disciples, actually came up with a pretty decent question to respond to Jesus. It doesn't happen very often in the Bible that people actually respond to Jesus with a question that actually makes sense. They say, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus, sensing that there's some works righteousness going on here, wants to liberate them from this notion. He says, believe in the one whom God has sent. Meaning you don't have to do anything because God is already at work through Christ. Your responsibility is to see it. To see that Jesus is already out there. To recognize it. And then join in. That is what Jesus is calling his disciples to. It's not about what you do, but about what God is already doing. And are you going to join yourself, your energy, your words to that work? Jesus says, simply believe and respond accordingly. This makes it clear that Jesus is the great provider, that through Jesus' work, we find a deeper and sustaining purpose in life, that His way can bring fulfillment, that nothing else can bring, which is why Jesus identifies as the bread of life, right? And it's like a super obvious metaphor, right? One of the most obvious ones. Provide, He's the great provider, the bread of life. And through this bread of life, you will find eternal sustenance. You will find fulfillment. You will find purpose when you join yourself to the work that God is already busy doing. Now, this time of year, we spend a lot of time planning or preparing to plan a large meal or several large meals, depending on your schedule for this week, right? Some of you do multiple Thanksgivings, I'm sure, in here, right? I'm sure you do. Eating your way through the day. And it drives me a little nuts, right? Because we do all this planning. All this planning for the day, right? And the idea is that we're gathering people together. We're taking this opportunity to get people together so we can honor these relationships that we have. You know, oftentimes the people we're gathering together, we might not want to get together with more than one time a year. That ring true to anybody in here? But here's the deal. We do all this work to get ready for that day, to foster these relationships, to gather our loved ones, but oftentimes we don't put in the real work to sustain a relationship for the rest of the year. We get our fill at the Thanksgiving table and we convince ourselves that we did our part. I wrote my one check for the year. I did my part. I volunteered for an hour at the soup kitchen once. I did my part. I came to church one time and I sang those songs. I did my part. Yet a life of faith is not one that is satisfied with the status quo, is not satisfied with standing still. It is not one that lingers in nostalgia, but one that is constantly seeking Christ in new and unexpected places. And it is in those places that Christ is providing. When it is about what we do, about how we provide, about how we give, we miss all the ways that Christ is already sustaining us and offering us new opportunities to love and to serve our neighbors. So as you sit down for your Thanksgiving meal this year, consider how you may fill up, not just on those delicious dinner rolls, but also on the bread of life. Responding to an active God who must be sought in the places of hunger, poverty, homelessness, illness, and brokenness in our world. Because we are very good at living lives of self-satisfaction, of convincing ourselves how great and good we are. It's tasty, it's tantalizing, it's delightful. I get it, I do it. But that kind of life is devoid of meaning and purpose. The Gospel of John tells us that that which truly fills our lives with purpose and meaning is found in the ways of Christ. The ways of self-sacrifice, of humbleness, of nonviolence, and of grace. This is the main course of God's ways. May we seek to have our stomachs filled with that food. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.